you take your Bible and turn to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 45. We've been in the book of Genesis for some time now. Started back with Adam and Eve and worked our way through here. We're really dealing with Joseph in the last several weeks. If you remember in chapter 30, I think around verse 24, Joseph was born. He has 10 brothers. One's fixed to be born right after that, but a large, large family. And so we really don't hear much about him till chapter 37, which has been 17 years from chapter 30 to 37. But once chapter 37 gets here, we know that he is not liked by his brothers. He's a favorite child. He's the guy with the coat of many colors. And so we find his wife being through many ups and downs. Matter of fact, he is caught by his brothers, thrown in a pit. They were going to kill him, but instead they sold him to the Ishmaelites, which carried him to Egypt, sold into Potiphar's house, and worked his way through that. But then again, lied about Potiphar's wife, said he tried to rape her, and so he was thrown in prison. Well, while in prison, he meets two other guys that are in Pharaoh's court, and then through those divine actions and appointments, God's going to raise him up. And so we recognize a man that has been set free and will cause others to be set free by his great power and might. And so I'd like to read to you out of chapter 45, just a few verses. It says this, "And then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians of the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph, doth my father yet live? And his brothers could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry yourselves, that you sold me thither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath God famine been in the land, and yet are 5 years, in which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And made me to be a father of Pharaoh, and the lord of all the house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye up, and go unto my father, and send him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, and tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast. And there I will nourish you for yet 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. And ye shall tell my father all my glory in Egypt, and all of you that has seen, and ye shall make haste and bring down my father hither. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept sore upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all of his brethren and wept upon them, and after that his brethren talked with him." Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word that gives us hope and direction and guidance. Thank you, Lord, for that word that gives us encouragement in our times of trouble in life. So, Lord, today I pray that we would recognize and see ourselves in the story and see how we fit in and see how you're the God that delivers like no one else. So, Lord, today I pray that we'd be open to your word, that you would convict us and guide us and bring it to a point that we may simply choose you. Thank you, Lord, again for your promise that when your word is read, it'll not come back void. Make good on that today, Lord. Help us. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. I may have told you about the old cowboy. He was very old, goes into the barber shop to get a shave. The barber sees how wrinkly he is. He said, well, sir, usually what I do is I ask people like you that have so many wrinkles to put this little wooden ball in their cheek while I shave. It is much better. So the old guy says, no problem, puts the wooden ball in there, and the guy shaves. And afterwards, he says, man, that is the best shave ever. He said, but I was a little worried. What would happen if I were to swallow that little wooden ball? He said, no problem. Just bring it back in a few days like everybody else does. Sometimes it is good to know all the information, amen? Sometimes it is good to know the whole story. And when you look at Joseph's life, Joseph was a man that could have acted in a certain way that was not good, but Joseph saw the whole story. God began to give him insight and wisdom. Even from a young man, God began to share dreams. And through God's power and might, because Joseph was willing to accept and see those things that God had for him, it changed his life, and it changed his family's life, and it changed the world around him. hopefully this morning before you leave, you'll recognize God's plan for your life, that you'll get an inkling of how God wants to use you in a different way to make a difference, not just in your life, but in the world around you. I want you to see a few things this morning. First, there's the possibilities of Joseph. The possibilities of Joseph. We found last week in chapters 41 through 44, really when you read that, that he goes from the prison house to Pharaoh's house, that he has been called and put over all of Egypt. Now, it's amazing. There is no way this should have happened to this man named Joseph. He was so unlikely. He was one of 12 sons from a small little town far away from Egypt, sold into slavery, put in Potiphar's house, lied about, accused of being a rapist, thrown in another prison, but through all that, God raises him up. His story would have been terrible, except for one thing: the Lord is good unto him, and God had a plan for him, and God uses all the events, whether they were good or bad, whether orchestrated or not, God brings him to a point to be used by the Lord himself. And so notice this, Joseph and his power. If you again remember that Joseph was called to interpret the dream of Pharaoh, he does so successfully. He is lifted up, he is put on the throne, and he is over all the land of Egypt. You can read that in Genesis chapter 41, 40 through 44. And so we find that he has great possibilities, he has great power. And so all you to understand that all of us in one sense have been placed in a position of leadership. We have some great possibilities in our life, and we can use our power for good or bad. It was the British politician Lord Acton that said, absolute power corrupts absolutely. And I want you to recognize that sometimes when you have authority in your life, when you have power in your life, when you have a position in your life, and we all do in some cases, we can use that for good or bad. And so we must recognize and do the things and not be what the world would consider as bad. We must simply fight the good fight and do the things that are good. You say, well, I would never do that. Well, I think you may change your mind. It's amazing how when we give a little bit of strength or power, it changes who we are. I've seen little ladies, 120 pounds, soaking wet, get behind a 6,000-pound SUV and drive like a maniac because of road rage. They think they have great power. Am I speaking to anybody here? Amen? We just have power, so we sometimes use that for bad instead of good. Joseph has great power, but he uses it not for bad, but for good. We find in chapter 41, verse 49, that he stores up the grain. If you remember the story, God says there's going to be 7 years of great plenteous, that there's going to be a tremendous crop increase. Store that up, and then there's going to be 7 years of great famine. And so Joseph stores the grain as he says, as God says to. Secondly, he doesn't hold that back, but he sells it to the nation. And we find in chapter 41, verses 56 and 57, that all the countries of the world around them came to buy Egypt's corn. We see Joseph use his position of authority and great power for good. And by the way, let me ask you, if you had great power and authority like that, what would you do with it? Would you blast your enemies? Would you withhold blessings from others? Would you treat those under you in a different way? Or would you truly do as Joseph did, do so with a heart that God desires to and bless others? Joseph did good. So the question is, why? We must recognize he understood the power of God. He understood that to whom much was given, much is required, as it says in Luke chapter 12. Joseph's power was tempted by the Lord or tempered by the Lord. His whole adult life is focused on what God has for him. If you don't believe this, let me read a few verses. In chapter 39, verse 9, speaking to Potiphar's wife as she was trying to get him to do something that was not right, he says, how can I do this wickedness and sin against God? In chapter 40, verse 8, speaking to the cupbearer, he says, do not the interpretations belong to God? In chapter 41, verse 16, speaking to Pharaoh himself, he says, God shall Pharaoh give Pharaoh an answer of peace. In chapter 42, verse 18, speaking to his brothers, he says, do this and live, for I fear God. Chapter 43, speaking to Benjamin, he said, God be gracious unto you, my son. Chapter 44, verse 17, speaking to his brothers again, God forbid that I should do so. Chapter 45, verse 5, speaking to his brothers one more time, God didn't send me. Chapter 50, he'll speak to his brothers in the future. Genesis says there, but as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. And so we find that his life is tempered by the power of God. And so today in our life, when you are placed in a position, whether it's a husband or a wife or an employer or whatever, use what God has given you and let it be tempered by the power of God, knowing that to whom much is given, much is required. Joseph had great power. But secondly, Joseph and his perception. So we're going to find that once he sat there, the people that were in a great famine now come to Egypt to buy corn. People are coming from all over. And we're going to find that in this process, his brothers show up. You know, the brothers that caught him, sold him into Egypt. They were going to kill him. They stripped him of his clothing. And they were going to kill him, but they changed their mind. And so they sold him for a great amount of money. And Genesis 42, verse 3 says, "And Joseph's 10 brothers went down to buy corn in Egypt. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob sent not with his brethren, for he said, lest peradventure mischief shall befall him." Jump down to verse 6, it says, "And Joseph was the governor of all the land, and it was sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their face to the earth. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange to them, and spake roughly unto them, and said, Whence come ye? And they said, From Canaan, to buy food." Verse 8 of chapter 42 says, "And Joseph knew his brothers, but they knew him not." And so it's a great story. Here's Joseph some 22 years later, as we'll find out. His brothers come to buy corn, and Joseph recognizes them, and they don't recognize him. And you may ask, well, how can that be? Well, one, they presumed that he was dead, probably long gone by now. Secondly, he's going to speak through an interpreter. When he speaks, he's going to speak Egyptian. Thirdly, he's probably clean shaven. Remember, the Hebrews, they always had their beards. It's been 20 plus years. And I found this in my own life, that young people change quickly, but old people change slowly over 20 years. I was talking to somebody the other day that I knew, but I saw him when he was this big. Now he's driving a car, and he's just carrying on a conversation. I'm thinking, who is this guy? He knew exactly who I was because I've been old a long time. They did not recognize their brother, but he surely recognized him. I thought, what if Jacob or what if Joseph doesn't recognize them? What if Joseph doesn't understand who they are? Well, we don't know the answer to that, but I'm just telling you, he saw them. Perhaps he was looking day by day for his brothers. Just as the father of the prodigal son looked for that prodigal to come home. You remember the story in the book of Luke, how he ran to get his son to save his son. So Joseph probably looks for his brothers to show up at any time, hoping and longing that they would come back, not to get revenge, but to do something good for them. I'm telling you, it is good. And I'm reminded how the Lord never forgets us, and he always recognizes us, no matter how much we change. Joseph recognized his brothers, which now leads to a plan. And so we go from Joseph's power to his perception to now Joseph and his plan. And we see something amazing here. So when he sees his brothers, he devised the plans. And so the question is it a plan of revenge or a plan of reunion? And to start with, it may look like a plan of revenge, but it was not. And let me just comment a little bit further, that God's going to ultimately use this plan of his to bring a great blessing. And so it is in our life that we need to understand what Joseph was doing so we can do the same. Joseph's plan was to bring a blessing to his family. He knew the Lord's going to do that. It was a plan also to check the hearts of his brothers. Joseph will test his brothers to see if they had a change of heart about their actions. You see, they had a heart in the past of jealousy and selfishness and hate, which led them to do all these things. And so the plan is not to see the outside. He can clearly see that, but a plan to see the inside. Without a change of heart, they will not receive the blessings as they could if they simply would not change. Lastly, there's a plan to bring the father and the brothers to safety and restore that family relationship. Jacob will come down to Egypt and see Joseph. Joseph's plan was based on discernment and deliverance. But notice what he does. He charges them with spying. Chapter 42, verse 9, "And Joseph remembered the dream which he dreamed of them and said to them, Ye are spies to see the nakedness of the land you are come." And so we recognize that this is not going to be good. He's going to chastise them. He's going to say, you are not as you should be. Well, they begin to kind of confess some things. We're of one man, and we have many sons, many brothers. And when we get to chapter 42, verse 17, he says, And he says, this do and live, for I fear God. If you be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye, carry corn to the famine of your house, and bring the youngest brother unto me, so your word shall be verified, and ye shall not die. And they did so. Well, he changed his mind. He sends them all back except for Simeon. And we recognize that God is going to do something mighty there as well. And when they come back, we're going to find that Benjamin comes back with them. And so he has another plan that he still devises. He puts their money in their corn, as he has done in the past. And he takes the cupbearer, the cup that he uses for what they call divination, and puts it in his younger brother's son, youngest brother's sack. They send them out. And then you get to chapter 43. They go and fetch those guys and say, hey, you have stole my silver cup. Bring it back. And then they find themselves face to face as somebody that has stolen from the highest person in the land. We recognize that all this is going to cause a hardship in their life. There they are facing the one that has power to execute them. And you ask yourself, why did this man, Joseph, devise a plan to bring hardship on his brothers? And we're going to find this answer. Adversity exposes what and who a man really is. Let me say that again. Adversity exposes what and who a man really is. And we're going to find something interesting. We're fixing to get back to chapter 45. But now we find that Judah speaks up. In Genesis 44, he speaks and says this. Now therefore, this is Judah, his brother, when I come to thy servant, my father, and the lad not be with us, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life, and it shall come to pass when he sees that the lad is not with us, he shall die, and thy servant shall bring down the gray hair of the servant of our father with sorrow and peace unto the grave. For thy servant became surety for the lad and my father, saying, if I bring him not to thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever. Now therefore I pray, let thy servant abide instead of the lad. And so here's Judah, that one to kill Joseph, now becomes surety for his brothers. And so we're going to see a change of heart. Judah promises Jacob to be the sacrifice, and now Judah makes good on that promise, willing to trade lives with Benjamin for himself. And so let me just ask you, I know it's kind of confusing, but hang on a little bit. There's going to be some trials that happen in your life. And so what do you do with the trials? What happens when the trials come and hit hard? What do you do when life gets hard? What happens when you're oppressed? It is easy to talk about, well, I'm going to do this and this and this when all is going good. But trials will do something to you. They will make you bitter or better. We recognize that God wants to change us. And so sometimes we have some trials in our own life. Sometimes we are faced with the things that we've done, and we need to turn from those and follow the Lord. He is going to use this plan. Yes, it is a scheme to bring them to a point of repentance. The possibilities of Joseph really fall into two things. He could have exacted revenge on his brothers or honor the Lord. And so instead of doing that, he does honor self. Nope. He does not humiliate his brothers. He honors God and he holds the Lord's plan that will restore and bless his own family. And so we recognize that God is trying to do something in our life. Just as Joseph has possibilities, so do we. Here's the second point I want you to see. Not just the possibilities of Joseph, but now the proclamation of Joseph. And this is kind of where it gets back to chapter 45. So they've been brought in. It's just Joseph and his brothers and the Egyptians. They're kind of under house arrest now. And then as Joseph questions them, in chapter 45, verse 1 says this. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known to his brethren, and he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph, does my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. Joseph said, hey, I am your brother. And you can imagine, just for a moment, some things that take place. Notice first the compassion of Joseph. He said that he could not refrain himself. Now, usually an uncontrolled spirit is not good. But this is an uncontrolled passion for good things, not bad. Secondly, he's going to close the door. He wants to expose himself, his heart, to his brothers by themselves. And then he says, I am Joseph. It is a statement of fact that he shares who he is. Secondly, the brothers are stymied with fear in verse 4. Let me read verse 3 first. And Joseph said to his brother, I am Joseph, does thy father yet live? And his brothers could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. I'm sure that when he said Joseph, their minds raced back to a time when they had mistreated him. I'm sure they remember stripping him of that coat of many colors and threatening to kill him. I'm sure they remember selling him to the hands of the Midianites. And we're reminded that sometimes that our sins do come back. And as Numbers 32:23 says this, you have sinned against the Lord, be sure your sins will find you out. But here's where it gets good. So we go from Joseph's statement of fact, the brothers that are stymied with fear, but thirdly, Joseph's status of forgiveness. His status of forgiveness. Verse 5, now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. Mercy and grace at its finest moments. Mercy and grace that does something unusual. Mercy would have said, I'm just going to let you go. But grace will do something greater. It will bound them down with great blessings. So the question is, when we get in that same position of having to forgive, do we forgive as Joseph does? How do you get past hurt and betrayals? How do you become that bigger person? I can tell you how Joseph did it. One, there must be a recognition of God's plan in your life. Let me say that again. There must be a recognition of God's plan in your life. You must recognize that the Lord has either allowed things or orchestrated things to happen for a purpose. Everything in your life has been allowed by God or orchestrated by God for a purpose. Matter of fact, when you read Genesis 45:5, he says, now therefore be not grieved nor angry yourselves that you sold me, for God did send me before you to preserve life. Verse 7 says, and God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in earth, to save your lives by a great deliverance. Verse 8, so now it's not you that sent me hither, but God. He recognized God's hand. You want to do good instead of bad to others? Recognize God's got a plan. Recognize that God is working out something good in your life, as the Word says. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Secondly, you must recognize that you have been the recipient of God's grace. Let me say that again. You must recognize you've been the recipient of God's grace. If you read verse 45, verse 8, the middle of the verse says, and he hath made me to be father to Pharaoh and lord of all of his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Joseph recognized by God's divine plan that he was way down here, but now he's at the very pinnacle in the land of Egypt. And he recognized it was not by his hands or by his power, but by the grace of God. He recognizes that God was a grace giver and now becomes a grace giver himself. He's been given grace and now gives grace. So let me just stop for a moment and ask you about your life for a moment, and my life. What do you do when people go against you? And you may be thinking, well, you don't know what they said about me. You don't know how they treated me. You don't understand, preacher, what they've done to me. And let me remind you, did they beat you and throw you in a pit? Did they strip away everything from you? Did they sell you into slavery? Maybe they just lied about you like Mrs. Potiphar did and had you thrown into prison. Maybe you helped some of those guys and they forgot all about you for 2 years. Or maybe they just didn't wave, or maybe they took your seat, or maybe they didn't return a phone call. Show grace unto them. Show mercy and kindness. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Jesus spoke about forgiveness in Matthew chapter 6 and Mark chapter 11. If you don't forgive, he won't forgive. We must be a people willing to forgive. God wants you to be that grace giver. He could have been so different, Let me go back to verse 4, chapter 45. And Joseph said to his brother, come near, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother. He could have said, I am Joseph, your enemy. I am Joseph, your judge. I am Joseph, your executioner. I am Joseph, your nightmare. The one that's going to make you wish you've never seen me or messed with me. I am Joseph, and you are finished. I am Joseph, and you're a dead man. I am Joseph, and you're guilty. I am Joseph, and I will do as I please. But true forgiveness does not do that. True forgiveness seeks to right the wrong and restore fellowship. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21, speaking about God toward us. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. So many times we put our place and we think we're Joseph in this story, and we are not. We are the brothers, and we need to be restored to our Father above. Joseph becomes this great example of Christ, and we understand that in Christ, man, how good it is. I'm reminded what it says in Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no condemnation to them which in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. But it doesn't end there in this restoration that Christ has for us. In Romans 8:38, it says, for I persuade neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Joseph could have gotten rid of his brothers, but instead he brought them back in. True forgiveness desires to remove the sin and restore the fellowship. Have you been hurt, disappointed, lied about, betrayed? In Christ, learn to forgive. In Christ, learn to share grace. In Christ, love those who are the unlovable, and you will be as the Lord did for us. It doesn't stop there, though. Joseph could have done so much, but here's what he does. Not the possibilities of Joseph, we're only talking about that. Not just the proclamation of Joseph, but now the pursuit of Joseph. Notice first, Joseph and his beckoning. In verse 9 of chapter 45, it says, haste ye, and go up to my father, and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, tarry not, and thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near me, and thou and thy children and thy children's children, thy flocks and thy herds, and all that thou hast. And out there I will nourish thee for yet 5 years of famine, lest thy household and all thou hast come to poverty. It was a call, a beckoning for a restored relationship. It's been 22 years. If you read chapter 37, verse 2, he's 17 years old. Chapter 41, verse 46, he stands before Pharaoh at 30 years. That's 13 years right there. Chapter 41, verse 28, there's going to be 7 years already done under the good times. And now in chapter 45, 6, there's 2 years into the famine. 22 years they've been separated, and he beckons them back. It is a call for a restored relationship. Let me just tell you, you may have been against God or away from God or running from God. You may be far away. I'm telling you, God yearns for us to come. Christ came to seek and save that which is lost. Christ yearns for us to come back. And he offers forgiveness and grace that we may know him. A call for restored relationship. It is also a call of salvation. They will not make it without Joseph. If they don't simply come back, if they don't simply follow his commands, they will not make it as a family. He sends for Jacob the father and the rest of the family. And it could not take place unless there is a response by Jacob to say yes. Unless you obey the call, there will be no deliverance. Today, when it comes to our salvation, the word goes forth. It must be believed and simply followed. So notice what he says in verse 24 as he sends his brother back for his father. Genesis 45, 24 says, so he sent his brethren away, and they departed, and he said unto them, see that you fall not out by the way. In other words, don't let anything deter you. Don't talk yourself out of it. Go get your father and bring them back. And so we go from Joseph's beckoning to be his brothers and their blessings. He's going to send something with them in verse 21. He gave them wagons. Chapter 45, 22, he gave them a change of raiments. Verse 23, he gave them donkeys loaded with the good things of Egypt. And so many things for proof that he is the one that can bless. How good it is when we recognize that God calls us the same way. Matter of fact, look at that wagon that goes to pick up his father Jacob. His old father does not have to walk back to the land, but simply get in the wagon. To respond to the call of Joseph is the same way we respond to the call of Christ. Simply get in by the grace of God. There is no struggle. There is no hardship. There is no work to be done. Everything is provided. Ephesians 2 says that for us about our salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you are here today and you know that you need the Lord and you feel far away, he has provided a way through Christ Jesus. The Bible reveals who that is, and we just simply need to respond to that. God desires for us to follow him. Thirdly, not just Joseph and his beckoning and his brother and their blessings, but Jacob and his belief. Jacob the father and his belief. Notice first, it is a denial. When you read verse 25, it says, they went out of Egypt, came to the land of Canaan, to their Jacob, their father. And he told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he has governed all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. In other words, how can this be? And yet so many times when we look at our salvation, we think, how can this be that Christ would die for us and Christ would save us? But we move from the denial to his deliverance. Verse 27 says, and they told him all the words of Joseph, which he said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. Verse 28 says, and Israel said, that's Jacob, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. The evidence caused this man, Jacob, to believe, and he simply gets in the wagon. How good is that? God sends us so many signs in our life. He gives us the Word of God. He gives us the gospel that is preached. He gives us other believers. And when we hear and believe, we simply get in. What a great story. And the story is ours as well. I wonder, have we wronged the Lord? He's really willing and ready to forgive. Do we need forgiveness? He has paid the price. I wonder today what would hold us back. Joseph told his brothers, don't tarry. Simply go and come. And so today, that's the invitation for us. You may not understand all this story correctly, but do know this. God has sent one to provide for us, not Joseph, but Christ Jesus. And in our great time of famine, in our great time of need, he calls to us, and all we have to do is accept him for who he is. Get in the way, as he says, believe and trust, and he makes things right. All we need to do is trust in the Lord Jesus. There's a song we sing sometimes, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saves a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that heart taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. So here's the invitation this morning. If you hear, and you know you're not where you're supposed to be when it comes to God, why not trust him? If you're here today and know that you need to be closer to him, why not trust him? If you're here today and need to respond to the call of God for the very first time, trust him. So when we begin to sing, why not walk that aisle and say, Brother Paul, I need Jesus. Why not walk that aisle and maybe come down here and pray for somebody else or yourself? Why not do what God's called you to do? God is willing and able if you'll simply accept him. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads just for a moment and think about your life. So many times, again, in stories like this, we want to put ourselves as the good guy, when in reality we're not. But the thing about it is, God can make all things right, no matter where we are in life. God yearns for us to be close to him. He yearns to restore fellowship. He yearns to restore relationship. He yearns to have us close. This morning, why not simply follow him? Simply say yes to the call of God and let him do the rest. God is willing. I wonder, are we? Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word that gives us hope and peace and direction that changes everything when we follow it. Thank you for being good to us. Thank you, Lord, for the picture of Joseph that leads us to Christ Jesus. Help us, Lord, now to simply get in your way, to do your will, to be found faithful. Bless us now in the name of Jesus. Amen.